How to do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, the 28th of July. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I just love the way you start the show. It's 2020 still.
Well, you know, like it or not. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro. Happy Tuesday, John.
Good morning. I'd be a happy person.
Okay.
I don't know why I did that.
I don't either, but it's cool. We're workshopping. We'll figure something out. So, John, actually, I wanted to start with you because you wrote an interesting article last week about Apple and their TV strategy and how they're going about making sure that everybody that wants to watch stuff from Apple can.
This is from July 23rd at the Mac Observer, and it's my take on Apple, entitled Apple's TV Strategy, Become the Favorite TV Subscription Platform. And it started when I read an article at CNBC about the difficulties that Roku and Amazon are giving HBO Max and Peacock to get onto their platform. And this is something you'd normally expect to hear from Apple because, you know, Apple has a competing subscription TV service. And in order to get onto Apple TV, where Apple's trying to promote Apple TV Plus, you might think there'd be a little bit of competitive behavior from Apple. Some people call it antitrust and a monopolistic behavior, but it's not really a monopolistic behavior. It's just rude and difficult and anti-regulatory and bad ethics for a big company to make life difficult for people who want to come onto their platform. But no, Peacock was on Apple TV from day one, July 15th. HBO Max was on Apple TV from day one. I think that was May 27th. I'm not sure. And so Roku and Amazon are being a little more difficult. They want some piece of the action that is uncomfortable for Peacock. They want a cut of the action revenue in terms of money and also ad revenue. They haven't come to terms yet, which is why you won't find, as far as I know, as of today, as far as I know, you still won't find Peacock on Amazon Fire TV and Roku. Now, you can understand Roku a little bit because Roku needs to generate revenue. These other boxes for a song. And they don't make a whole lot of money on the hardware, so they've got to generate additional revenue. But Amazon has a very strong and thriving subscription service called Prime Video.
Yes.
And so for Amazon to give Peacock and HBO Max difficulties is just about assuredly going to get them in trouble with regulators down the road unless they come into agreement sometime soon. And they probably will.
Yeah.
But it amused me and pleased me that Apple was ready to negotiate right away. And it kind of got the feeling like, you know, Apple doesn't have a rich portfolio on Apple TV Plus. Apple is not at the top of the ratings, at the top of the viewership. Apple has taken a humble approach. Mm-hmm. Apple's taken the approach that we can't be too arrogant. We're going to go in front of the Senate committee.
Did you describe a $1.4 trillion company?
You said it yourself. Tim Cook is going to go in front of regulators to talk about big companies tomorrow, the 29th.
I'm sure he will do the humble act. I think Apple is many things, lots of them good. I'm not sure humble would be the word I would use.
Well, I think they were humble in this case because they realized that the same old
song. They were sensible in this case.
I'm not sure humble's the right word.
Being kind of hissy and saying, you know, well, we're going to make life difficult for you to compete with Apple TV Plus because that's a strong marketing position. Apple TV Plus is not a real winner right now. It could be in the future, but
yeah, that could change.
I mean, all it does is get them into trouble with regulators. And so
I think
they said, come on to our platform day one.
I think self-aware is the word you're looking for, John.
It's a canny move. I don't think it's a particularly humble one.
Yeah. They know very well they're not
being humble.
Well, they know very well they're not the only game in town. And that's, and I think that goes a long way. I do think that the opposite of whatever they've done is arrogance. And I think we're seeing a bit of that play out as the HBO Now app, I think it is, goes away at the end of the month. And like it's being pulled from everywhere because you're supposed to be using HBO Max instead, which is basically what if HBO Now, but purple. And that's basically the difference I've seen in it. And the thing that's going to happen is that there is no deal to put HBO Max out on, I think it's the Fire TV platform. So like if you have an Amazon Fire thing, and you're using HBO Now on it, then that won't work anymore at the end of the month. And you won't have an alternative because they haven't figured out the deal that's going to put HBO Max on Fire things instead. So this is going to leave you high and dry, much like the occasional dust up we see with a cable provider or a satellite provider and a network where you try to watch something and you get the scroll across the bottom that, like, you know, you're not going to get to see CBS anymore if you're a Comcast subscriber because, oh, the end of the world, and you should call CBS right away and let them know, you know. Like, we were getting a lot of that in the upswing of the streaming service market as that became a market, as more and more companies got into it. And I feel like we're sort of getting the same thing now with, you know, HBO taking HBO Now away, but on the Fire TV, you know, in August, you're not going to be able to do anything else, you know, with HBO if they don't come to a deal in the next couple of days. And there's a lot of other things that are at play that's going to, like, it's just going to make people give up. And so I think canny, I think Charlotte is an excellent description here. Of Apple to just be like, cool, we'll put it out. You know, you can have it on your platform. It's fine. Whatever that negotiation entailed, like, I'm glad Apple was good with it.
Yeah.
One of the drivers here is that the Wall Street looks closely at the success of the streaming services, and they're very careful about giving money away. They want to show good profitability and success. And since Peacock is kind of late to the game in trying to break into the market, they can't afford to give away too much money or they're not going to please their investors. So that's one of the drivers. And of course, they're dealing with the gatekeepers who have the hardware like Roku and Apple TV and Amazon.
Sure. Let's also remember Apple TV, the box and the app was always designed as to have multiple services run on it. We've discussed it on the show, and I wrote an editorial about it a while back. One of my frustrations, if that's the word, you know, I don't know if criticism's quite the word, but, you know, when you go to Apple TV, the app, or indeed the box, there's lots of things called Apple TV, right? And they all have different services on them, and you don't quite know what's Apple's product or what you have to pay for and all that kind of stuff. And that has its problems, but John is absolutely right. It also has its advantages in terms of things like antitrust and, you know, showing good, being a good corporate neighbor or whatever. It does show those things because it means that, you know, the example you're highlighting, these apps that appear on Apple TV, no problem, no issue. It's canny. It definitely looks good for Apple. Maybe it gets more people into that using their boxes and apps as well, which has other advantages. And I can see why it all comes together.
It's interesting to see that because, like John said, that's not generally an attitude that we get from Apple very often.
Well,
you know?
It's not, but it has been from the start, from what I can tell, for TV.
Yes.
And actually media in general. So the strange thing with Apple was making its own content, because it never made its own podcast, really. It was a place where you could put your podcasts. It never made its own music, thank goodness. But it, you know, never had its own record label.
Yes.
But it created a place where you could listen to loads of music. It does have its own radio station, but again, that's curating other people's music. until TV Plus came around, it provided you a place where you could buy and watch other and rent and watch other people's TV shows and movies, but it never made its own. So in a way, it is in keeping with what we've seen before in that kind of space.
That's true. Because they also did come at it a little differently. Like the other one started with catalog and sort of got into
what if
we made our own shows. And Apple started with what if we made our own shows and then, by the way, offered this streaming service where people could see them. Which is kind of the opposite of the way the rest of them did it.
I kind of expect that this disagreement will come to a resolution soon. It's not going to linger on very long because it's going to slow down sales. Well,
between Peacock and Roku and Apple Amazon?
I beg your pardon?
The disagreement between us or between Amazon and Roku?
Charlie, you and I never disagree. We're always on the same page.
That is actually true.
It's not, but that's okay.
I think Peacock's in a strong position because as soon as people find out they can't get Peacock on Roku, it lingers on. This can be a problem. And yeah. Apple is trying to sell their Apple TV boxes, and they're not exactly a leader. Roku's the leader. They've got more boxes out there than anybody else. And so they're going to have to come to terms with Peacock and AT&T, HBO Max soon.
Well, yeah, I suspect Roku users will get quite irritated at that quite quickly.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, very quickly. Yeah. But while we're talking about Apple TV, just to back up a little bit, we're talking about Apple TV and their approach to things. And one thing we know is that at least part of what they're doing has worked, right, Charlotte? Because they won a couple of Emmys.
They won a couple of daytime Emmys, yeah. For the Peanuts Apollo 10 special thing they did, and also for Ghostwriter. And look, it's nice to get something that's called an Emmy. I also think, and this is something John has highlighted before, and is another thing it's another thing he's right about, is that kids' TV is quite a big opportunity for Apple TV Plus. And so I think they'll be particularly pleased. Like, it's nice to get a SAG Award for Jennifer Aniston and a Critics' Choice Award for Billy Crudup and whatever. But I think they'll be quite pleased to have picked up something and be recognised in the field of children's television, because I think that's going to be quite important to the service going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say.
It has been interesting. And apparently, something else important to their service is Tom Hanks. I mean, you know.
Yes, Tom Hanks. there's a lot going on, kind of, because on one hand, you've got these little successes, which, you know, were not big name things. Things like, as I say, Ghostwriter, Peanuts in Space, that, you know, get really well recognized in daytime Emmys just for kind of completeness. They won Outstanding Children's or Family Viewing Program Ghostwriter, which is a big thing to win. And as I say, I think Apple will be really pleased about that. And Outstanding Single Camera Editing for Peanuts in Space, Secrets of Apollo 10, starring one Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Yes. So, as I say, I think Apple will be very pleased about that. I think it is a nice, you know, but these are not things that are big blockbusters that, you know, a lot of people talked about. But they were there and have obviously been well received, presumably by viewers and clearly by critics.
Mm-hmm.
The Tom Hanks Greyhound thing was clearly a huge success. We've discussed and I've reported on how it kind of blew every first weekend away.
Yeah.
Of stuff that's been launched on Apple TV Plus. And there's sort of reports and rumors filtering out that actually what this did was make them go, oh, so blockbusters, huh? They're a thing.
Yeah.
Right. No, but that's good. That's cool. Like, it's getting them to rethink more. You know, Andrew and I and you, we discussed how Apple Arcade was seeing a little shift, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we were saying, you know, actually, we all like games, but none of us have particularly played Apple Arcade. And they're clearly trying to drill down now with all these services of what seems to work, which, you know, Sensible, really. I've just published a story on the macobserver.com showing that those services are not particularly generating revenue. So they're obviously trying to drill down on the stuff that works. And it turns out spending money on Tom Hanks works.
Well, yeah. As I said on the show, I got a phone call from my dad and he said, I heard Tom Hanks made a movie and I can only watch it if I have Apple TV. So tell me how I get Apple TV. Until that moment, and now my dad has Apple TV Plus. So yeah,
right. And just by the way, while we're recording this show, there's some news is broken about the Grown Up Emmys.
Yes,
And there are some nominations for Apple TV Plus shows, namely The Morning Show. So Jennifer Aniston has been nominated for her role in The Morning Show in the drama lead actress category. Nice. Steve Carell is in the male equivalent. And the guest actor Martin Short has won in The Morning Show, has got to be nominated in The Morning Show. So there's some it's starting to be recognized.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm curious to see how that goes and who else ends up nominated in some of those categories, just to find out. Because one thing that you can get from Emmy nominations is sort of the landscape of TV. Remember how maybe not everybody remembers, but The Sopranos started winning Emmys when HBO made The Sopranos ages ago, and people sort of went, wow, I didn't realize you could get interesting original award-winning content from a channel that's just supposed to be a pay channel for movies, and consistently started winning for their dramas and stuff after that. So that led to Game of Thrones and everything else, the Westworld that we saw. So it's going to be interesting, I think, to see where this all ends up, particularly with the year we've had in television. Because
from what I can tell, it's a 3 nominations.
Yeah.
I'll drill into it. But from what I can tell, it's the 3 nominations for The Morning Show, which is no mean feat.
No. And it will be interesting to see, because this season, the period of eligibility for these Emmys didn't include a lot of pandemic. So next year's Emmys are really going to be the reflection of how did this actually affect, the way TV production worked and all that. So I'm going to be curious to see how that bit shakes out. But congratulations to The Morning Show on their 3 Emmy nominations. That's pretty great.
Now, what remains to be seen is whether this is sort of throwing Apple a bone or whether they're going to really win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, those are 3 very popular actors. So, I'm sure, I don't think it was a hard sell to convince the Academy that Jennifer Aniston had done a good job, or that Steve Carell had done a good job, or that Martin Short had done a good job, enough so that they could at least end up in the nomination pool. So I will be interested to see if they win. I think that's going to be the kicker.
Yeah, me too. I'll have to see that.
Yeah, I'll have to see what else they're up against, and I will have the Dream Team back to discuss it once we have, once we get a chance to dig into the nominations and see what else they're up against as far as competition. And maybe they're up against some other streaming shows. We'll have to see. So I think that's going to do it for us today. But thank you, Charlotte, for breaking news right there on the show. And thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Here's my guess. Jennifer Aniston will win. Steve Carell will not.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I say Martin Short. I haven't seen the rest of the nominees yet, but I bet Martin Short wins. we'll figure it out. John Martellaro, thank you for being here, as always.
You bet. Greyhound. Woof.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.